Well, hey.
Yo, sir, how's it going?
Not too bad.
Awesome. Hey, that office looks a little familiar.
Nah.
I saw Steven at the Eureka earlier adopters meeting today, but I didn't see you there.
Yeah, I haven't been going to those since we stopped trying to run Eureka.
Elakt. Vi får göra egna.
Well, I guess Ingolf is running late. I don't have an agenda for this meeting, so.
Hello.
Ah, there he is.
Ja, hi, nice to see you. Rasen, this is Rasen from Tübingen,
No,
is
from
right?
BSC.
Which city?
Constance, BSC.
Konstanz in southwestern Germany. And you have a beard, that's new.
Yes.
But yeah, so why don't we start with your plans, Hassan?
How was my plan? Okay.
Yeah, do you want to talk yourself?
Yes. I am a developer, and I am starting with Kubernetes and administration. So we had another institution that was making for us the hosting, but we didn't made something good together regarding the Folio Eureka. That's why we are now focusing ourselves as institution to make that working, and I have started to experience that on my local laptop. I have the infrastructure stack already there, like Kafka, Elasticsearch, Kong and Keycloak. Only today I got them working, and that's it. And now my next steps we'll be deploying the system modules, these manager applications and tenants entitlement. And then I will see if I can still deploy the folio modules and the UI for that Eureka example.
Cool. Yeah, I also have a question about the laptop. How are you doing that on the laptop? You're not running Kubernetes on the laptop or what?
Yes, I am running OneNode Kubernetes on my
Oh,
laptop.
really?
Yes.
Okay. How powerful is the laptop? How
It
many
has
gigabyte
60,
RAM?
say 60 gigabyte RAM.
60?
Yeah, it's 60,
Oh, okay.
yeah,
Yeah,
64,
yeah,
genau.
yeah, yeah. Okay.
2 terabyte Speicher. I think it's the laptop
Yeah,
of the year.
storage.
Storage. I think it's the laptop of the year. It's called the Dell Pro Max 16. Everybody is now naming Pro Max. Yeah.
Yeah, okay, with such a powerful laptop, that is certainly possible. With OneNode
Yeah,
Kubernetes. Okay.
yeah.
Interesting. And you posted me a question today, Hassan. Did you resolve it?
Yes.
Oh.
I needed to comment out the HTTPS key stores, and then it worked. And the back channel and the back channel that attribute and the values in the key cloak. Because I hadn't any ingress for my key cloak, but when I haven't like commented out the HTTPS key store from the values, it didn't like worked. But then if I commented it out and let only the HTTP keywords, then it worked and I got the UI working for key cloak. Maybe if you experience that with an ingress, then you will not like you will not get this error.
I didn't quite understand the error, but it's
There's
resolved.
the examples for Eureka and the key cloak thing show like KC back channel hostname URL,
Richtig, exactly, yeah.
and that's not even like if you actually try to find it as an environment variable, it doesn't really do anything. It's like not pulled in anywhere. It's weird. I don't know why. I think it's just
Okay.
like somebody copied it off of Google AI Overview when they were searching how to set something up, and it just got perpetuated through everything.
What do you use as secret store, Hassan?
Vault.
Yeah, and okay, and that worked. How far are you? You're now about to deploy the modules, did you say?
I will.
Yeah. You
Yeah.
deployed the manager components, and
No, not yet, not yet. This is
oh,
the
not
next
yet.
step then.
Okay.
This is the next step then.
Okay.
Exactly, yeah.
Are you deploying a specific version, Flower release, or are you just doing snapshot?
I will do a snapshot.
Mm-hmm.
All the latest modules then.
You don't need to migrate
No,
from
we don't need
exist.
to mind. We don't have any productive institution yet.
Okay. That makes it easier.
Yes.
Yeah. Anyone want to start? Magnus, what's your up? Do you have an update?
Yeah, I can say something about the thing you shouldn't do. You should not change all email addresses in a database dump and then try or to install a system on top of that. That doesn't work because you change the email addresses that Liquibase uses for keeping its change log. So it wants to redo all the tables. We do it for tests. We remove all email addresses on test systems to make sure we don't send spuriously emails to people.
Emails in mod users, or what do you mean? In user
No,
database or where?
yeah, we changed the complete database from the database dump. And then we
Okay.
reload the database dump into the new system.
There's a PSQL command you can run that only alters the email addresses of the user's Infolio. Usually what I do is when I do the dump, I restore, wherever my destination database is going to be. And before I spin up the Folio backend, I run the PSQL to change the email addresses. And then I spin up the Folio backend. And if any circulation timers trigger or copy timers trigger, it doesn't go anywhere.
Yeah, we managed to send out mails once, so we are kind of scared. So we do three things: disable the email server. We add firewall rules for port 25, and we munch all the email addresses.
Yeah, we use a tool called SMTP for dev, and so we just have that running on the each Folio instance we run has its own Kubernetes cluster. And so we just edit the core DNS file of that cluster to point, redirect anything going through SMTP to SMTP for dev.
Yeah, we're not in Kubernetes yet.
And I think I've mentioned what we do. We ju just remove the SMTP configuration of mod email so that the email don't actually reach our mail server. That's like the most basic thing. And then the second thing we sometimes do is actually reroute all emails based on sender and set up a service account, email account where the testers can log into and then they see, this email should have gone to this user and stuff like this. Which is way more prone to maybe accidentally sending out emails because we use the same mail server for everything and we don't like change out any email addresses. We could maybe also like change the user email addresses for cloning, but I don't think we ever sent out erroneous clone emails or stuff like this. So, knock on wood or something like this.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just stupid enough. I don't know what's the use case. When do I have to do this?
When you
When
actually dump the database or copy it somehow and put in a different front end for testing purposes. So set up a new testing.
why would I put real data
Because
in a testing surface?
some things are easier to test if you have like a copy of the production system. It's set up
Okay.
exactly the same way as the. So the I think the proper term would be something like a staging system. Because some things you just can't test if you don't have the same kind of data in there as like the production system.
We use it to test upgrades also.
Stuff like
Yeah,
this,
upgrades and
exactly.
manage data imports are common uses.
I think the
Excellent.
easiest solution is the what Florian said. Like in the SMTP config, we just delete the mail server, and
Exactly.
then there will be no email like going outside. It's better than anonymizing the emails. Of course, we could also anonymize these emails, and then all these emails will not land to the recipients. But we should always do the So if it's only for testing, then it's okay because we will anonymize the emails, and then we make the we test the new system without like anonymize the emails and the productive system. But the easiest way, I think, is to delete the SMTP config from the mod emails.
Well, depend on your network's DNS setup because you can have a default SMTP server set up at the DNS level.
Okay, I think I don't have that use case.
Yeah, we at Index Data do a lot of clones down from production to a test environment, a staging environment. And we do that because we upgrade that test environment to whatever the release version of Folio is for our clients to be able to test out before they approve it in their production. And it's pretty useful to have recent up-to-date data to test out workflows, all of that.
Yeah, okay, I could describe what we do. We have two systems, test and production, and they basically have the same bibliographic data for the users. I'm not sure. I don't think the test system has the real users. It only has two or three users, probably. And then they upgrade the test system, then they test in the test system. Only one or two persons test, they have a user there, and then if they prove it, then do the same update in the live system. Yeah. Who wants to give an update? Maybe Trent, anything new? Tame you?
Well, we have half of our environments on Sunflower Okapi. For the most part, it's running pretty successfully. It's really just that Edifacts data import issue, where if the EDI has too many records in one file, it'll the mod invoice, I think it is, will basically lock up its database tables and you have to restart the modules. But other than that, it's working pretty well. Yeah,
Yeah,
and an
I
update to that real quick. I've recently found out that it's reproducible on a Eureka environment also with the proper data in it. So this looks like it's an issue between both types of platforms. And it makes sense because we started seeing this issue back on Quisnelia. So it's only seen it only seems to have been gotten worse.
Let me see. That was on Eureka Sunflower Trent, or where did you serve this?
No, it's a
Oh,
Sunflower
copy.
Okapi. We
Yeah.
don't run Eureka.
And you reproduce it on Eureka JSON that way. Oh.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah,
So
I
you.
was starting to go to Sunflower on Okapi, but it's difficult. It starts with the Okapi version. It's not anymore in the release. So I asked what version to use, and they said, I think it's 6.3.0. Okay,
Really?
I'm not deploying that in the container. I'm doing this on my old systems where Okapi is running as a Java process. So I need to compile Okapi and it doesn't work. I was not able to compile 5.2.0. I get some versioning error. I think it's a JDK versioning error, but I can go to 17, JDK 17 and 22. It doesn't work in either. So I
Okay,
gave up upon
interesting.
that.
So we just use version 7, and I mean we use a Docker image for that, but you could use maybe the same Java version we do. I think that works. I can just send the link in the chat for like
Let me see version
our.
7. Yeah, and then the question is you cannot check it out.
Yeah, because
Yeah,
we
GitHub.
don't. We don't do a Debian release anymore for the newer versions of Okapi, but you should still be able to build from source because that's how we release it and that's how we publish the Docker containers. It's a build from source kind of a deal. Let me see if I can find that pipeline and I'll post the link in it as soon as I find it.
Yeah, so we use the same building process as the one we started, so it's a bit custom. But so the link I posted is just a Docker file, but all of those the stuff should work
You build your own container.
anyway. Yeah. We started out building our own container, and we just never saw a reason not to do it after we set it up. And yeah, we use OpenJDK 21, I think. but I think I'm actually not completely sure.
We do use, I'm looking at the Docker file now, we use OpenJDK 21 in the latest Maven image.
Yeah. So I think we've oriented ourselves around the official files. So in the Okapi repo, I think there are also Docker files, and we tried to mimic that. But I don't think we had ever had like major issues here. Maybe just some build fails, and then we just adjusted some versions of things. But yeah, it's been running really smoothly after that.
Interesting. No.
And don't use like the environment here as a guideline, because we override most of this after the fact, I think. But just a reference for the like versions we need to build our container.
Oh, this and for the Eureka, I was not able to build this up. I wasn't able to enable or activate this module, this application.
You had stuck at the entitlement stage
Yeah,
again.
entitlement is the
Yeah.
word, exactly. I think I tried 2 weeks ago last time after this meeting and I gave up
And
upon this.
Temu's
So
waiting
and
for Trillium to fully release before we try Eureka again.
yeah. Oh, that makes sense. For a folio release, do you mean like Trillium or another Sunflower CSP?
Trillium.
Oh, okay.
Just hopefully enough time has gone by it. Things have kind of matured and stabilized, but I'm not that optimistic about it, honestly.
So this means, didn't they have a release date now? By the end of what, May, wasn't it?
If nothing changes, which
You
is
want to
not
wait half a
guaranteed.
year till you try this again?
Yeah. As long as Sunflower is still supported in the meantime, why not? If
Yeah.
it works.
Okay. So, Shelley, what's new in Stanford?
We're going to upgrade our production system to Ramsons this Saturday. It's going to be Ramsons CSP8 because 9's not out yet. And yeah. And then probably in the new year, we're going to start working on getting ready to upgrade to Eureka, our productions, all our systems to use Sunflower Eureka. And I think we want to go to Eureka in production on, and I think it would be the end of March. So I don't know, it's quite ambitious, so we'll see.
Yes.
But yeah, we're just, we're forging it. We're going to forge ahead with getting everything going to Eureka Sunflower. So whenever, if it's the end of March or the next time we'd be able to upgrade would be like in the summer. So those are the two times.
Yeah, thank you. It's ambitious. Okay. What do you want to talk about? What else?
So in golf, are you still having issues with Eureka, or you've stopped working on Eureka and now you're trying to do Okapi Sunflower, right? Yeah.
I don't know if I'd want to address this here. We have another, maybe after that, we have another topic. Does anyone use a, what is this in English? Consortium. It's part of, does anyone want to use, no, okay, Folio as part of a consortium and exchange data from one tenant to another. Except for Florian.
Yeah, we don't use.
This will be our next topic because we have Alma Network Zone, where as catalog, unit catalog, and we need Anbindung connection from this network zone to Folio, you know. And this will be development in Folio. Folio must consume changed records and empfang receive changed records and update their records. So probably this will only work with MARC records. Don't know about inventory records. This will only work for MARC 21, probably.
So
And
is the consortium work that's being done? I thought that was all related to just users and borrowing and not necessarily trying to bring in changes from a shared bibliographic
yeah, I
utility.
think so too. It is not in mod consortia. It's more than
Yeah.
this.
Like the
I
stuff
think
I've seen is
this is
all
if you.
related to users and borrowing.
And that is if you have different folio systems, correct? If they're all on folio, you know, they're not all in folio in our case.
Yeah, that's
Just
the problem.
it's an upload to the catalog and then another system downloads it. And the other direction too. Another system edits this and Folio downloads it.
Yeah, I think in our case, this is done via like some very specific PVB modules other people have written. And so we have some processes that run alongside Folio in Kubernetes, but they are definitely not Folio and use Folio system users and the API, but definitely not Folio modules. And I'm also really not knowledgeable about how they work. Luckily, I
Me
don't
too.
have to write this.
You don't know yet.
Yeah, we used to, before we went to Folio, we were on a different system, and we have like a borrowing, I don't know, contract or something with UC Berkeley. And so people from students and researchers and faculty from UC Berkeley could come to Stanford libraries and borrow material. And the way that worked is that UC Berkeley would send us their user data and we would load it into our system as users. But then when we went to, so they weren't necessarily like the same system as us, the same library system software that we have, but you know, there was some, yeah, export of data transformation and loading, right? But we don't do that now that we went to Folio, because it was also kind of like bad to from like a user's personal data perspective, like how are you using my data, right? Like,
Yes, if you have personal data, you need the user agreements.
yeah, so I think what happens now is like it's just people, the like circulation people will create a user record when a person comes to try to, you know, somebody from UC Berkeley would come and try to borrow material, then they would at that point get a user record. But yeah, we don't, we haven't messed with any consortium stuff. And I'm
That's your
not
German
sure
topic.
how, yeah, I'm not sure how that would, how it would work, like from a non-folio system to a folio system. I don't know.
But is there anybody who had used that, the ECS, the consortia folio? Because we want also to test it. But every time when we ask other people if they installed this, if they have this installed, then they say no. And like I hear EBSCO, like they are saying, okay, we next plan we will like unify our Kafka schemes, or we will like send the Kafka scheme version so that the different folio versions talk to each other. But until
Okay.
now, like everybody who I ask,
Adios, Jason. Merry Christmas. Too late.
Merry Christmas. But like before going to the next step, that like different versions of folio talk together, like no, but, I don't know that somebody like was successful for installing the consortia, even like with Okapi, and even like with the same versions of folio, before even like talking about different communication between different versions of folio.
Okay. Yeah, anything else to the topic? We can talk the rest of the half hour about my system you want to do that. So I had another problem actually with Vault. Who's using Vault here? Then, Shelley, yeah, and I think it's called sealing, deseal and sealing. It's desealing every couple of weeks, and I have to what's the
Oh.
and sealing. I have to reseal. I don't know if I have to do this. I can show you the commands. You don't have this problem, Shelley?
I don't know. Maybe I do, and I'm unaware.
Yeah, but yeah, no, you would know. Vault goes red then, the service vault, the deployment. And what I also noticed is CPU load increases because the modules restart more oftenly. And I even got an email from my central IT, what about the CPU in your cluster? And I didn't notice this. I don't have all the monitoring tools. And when I reactivated Vault, it went down again because they cannot communicate with the secret store, and then they restart something like this. But why does it do this? What did I do wrong, so to say?
I don't
I
know.
wish I still had the reference environment around for this, but I do recall you're using the HashiCorp Helm chart, or how'd you have it installed?
Well, that's a good question. I need to look in my notes. But what I do is, I think it's called root token. Token.
Right. Yeah, I think I saved that as a
I have this. It's called
Kubernetes thing.
unsealing. Unseal key, and I need to do this stuff every, I don't know, every 6 weeks or so. Why?
You shouldn't have to re-init it every few weeks. You should be able to just unseal
Probably
it with
not.
keys.
Probably no. You're right.
Yeah.
Unseal.
There
Unseal.
you go.
Sorry. Unseal. And then this goes. This shows one of zero. This goes down here. And then this goes. Ready 1-1 again.
What is sealing and unsealing?
I think it's
Ah,
just
that's.
encrypt at rest.
Say again?
I think it's just encryption at rest. So when it's not running, the data is encrypted.
HashiCorp Vault, exactly.
Can it
What are
be
you
that you
using?
they have your computer restarted? Yeah,
Did
is
I have
that.
the yes, it can be. Yes, it can be. And then I need to re unseal.
Yep.
Okay, yeah, you
That's
can
too much work. That's a manual operation. So in your
you
case, it's also, and how do you unseal it or what? I cannot give a door to the system every time and copy these values and insert this here, you know? It's not practical. Practical. I don't know.
believe I set up a like a sidecar or something similar, like an init script. And you can pass commands to the other pod.
Oh, okay. Script in a sidecar.
We have an unseal config in our values for the server. Unseal config enabled false. So I don't, maybe that's.
Look at this. Chance. Unseal config.
Yeah, it's a
Oh,
key
can
that
you
is
show this?
under server. Huh? Can I
Can you show
show
this? It's a part of the values file.
it? I can try. I'm sorry if this is too small. Hold on a minute. No, that doesn't do anything. There we go. Maybe this isn't helpful. This is the Helm chart, the user supplied values, and under server, we apparently have this thing, unseal config enabled
Wow.
false.
Cool. I make a
So
screenshot of this. Thank you.
maybe that's what you need to do. I don't know.
It could be. Okay. And the other stuff. Yeah, this was a CPU. What about your CPU? Can we talk about this? What about your CPU? That last CPU
Usage.
usage. Thank you. CPU usage. I can show you mine. I think it's pretty high. So there's virtually nothing going on. I wasn't able to entitle. Okay, there's maybe it's 70 modules or so. So it's a 2.5 CPU. That's quite a lot. And I have 4 cores. This is my system here. 4 cores CPU on each node. But for the modules which I have implied, and this is it is not a deployed, this is not a lot. It is not even platform complete. It's almost all reserved. And then there's a limit which is already above the
Oh, those are your
capacity. Can
nodes.
someone explain me what is the difference between reservation and limit? I think it's somewhere in the
It's
deployment.
how Kubernetes kind of like determines where pods should spin up, right? So like the request and limit, there isn't the request what's reserved
Yes.
for something, and then the limit is how
What
far
is the limit?
it can go.
Right.
But what's the
So,
difference? What here? This is a resource limits, resource requests. You know, request is.
requests gives the Kubernetes scheduler an idea of how many resources the pod needs to start and stay running, and that helps it decide what node to start the pod on. The limits for CPU, the limit is just a throttle. So if it hits that CPU limit, it won't crash. It'll just run very slowly. The memory, however, is a hard limit. So if it hits that memory limit, it'll restart the whole pod.
Fine, thank you. So, what do you think?
But then there's
Is this isn't this too much? 2.5. This went up to 6 or 7. This is where I got an email from my administrator.
Okay, 6 or 7 is pretty crazy, but 2.5. I mean, is it also including the back-end Kubernetes processes like etcd?
Yes. So,
Yeah,
actually, I
that
don't
could be
quite know what this
bigger.
is. Is this for the whole cluster, what it shows
No,
here when I
this is
go?
namespaced. It should be namespaced.
No. But here, when I go to one node, it has 0.8. And when I go,
Yeah.
this is then the sum. 3 times 0.8 is. Wait,
Yeah.
this is one special node, sorry.
So if you go to
This
the
is then the
nodes, it's
sum.
not
3 times 0.8
namespaced.
is 2.4. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So you need to sum up everything there. Yeah. And that
So,
includes everything, including the
yeah,
Kubernetes
but then
system.
if this is 2.4 and each node has 2.5 or 3, then it's only 1/3 of the reservation, you know? It's not a lot. What do I need the limit for? When will I, for what will I need this?
Well, the limit's supposed to be approximately equal to the capacity. So that way it doesn't go over the capacity and affect the
Yeah,
performance of other pods.
but will it ever reach it? This would mean that it's already I need more CPU here.
The idea with the limits in general are maybe there could be like a process hogging all the CPU power in the whole node, and then every other like container would slow down. So that's basically the reasoning behind this. So we never look too deep into CPU limits at all with Folio because our servers have way more CPUs than what could ever be like needed in our cases. Usually we set the CPU limits really high. The requests make sense to set relatively low, like the average CPU load you observe, basically.
But this
So
calms me. I think I don't. This is not too much. 2.4 for the whole
I mean, it really depends on
cluster.
all the container. I don't have like a quick command you can run on your nodes or anything like that that like shows you which container actually takes how much CPU. I think that is
I don't know.
but that's way more interesting maybe than like the aggregated CPU usage if there like is a container that runs wild and uses way too much, then that would be
Yeah,
interesting.
this you
I
can look
think
up in the top table of contents, wouldn't you?
Exactly. You can do that. I think the dashboard also includes something like this if you enable it for each pod, what they used in the last 5 minutes or something like this.
But then I have to look at each node separately.
No, in each names, also, you can sort it however you want. You can use CLI tools. There are quite a lot of tools.
Yeah, this is quite interesting. They don't take much CPU, but you can see what pod this is.
Yeah, and every command that's Java is most of them are actual Folio modules or other
So
in
this
this
is
case it
manager
could be.
tenants, you know. You
Yeah.
can see this. It takes the most
But I think
CPU.
Ingolf, if it jumps from 2 to 7, it's not only dependent on one container.
No, it was on all, at least in two
Yeah.
containers, yes.
Yeah. From 2 to 7, it means
Uh,
that yeah.
I think it was because of the vault. And what I can see, maybe I want to show this, the events. Where is it? Here. I have too many events. 3 seconds ago. Okay, a minute ago. Wow. A minute, nothing. But it's constantly restarting modules. And I don't know why. How can I trace this? When I see, oh, this has restarted, and I go in the log, then the log of the old container is already gone because it's
Wasn't
gone, you
that
know.
some weird auto-scaling issue the last time I joined the session? But usually, if you go to the actual pod, there should be more of a status than back off.
Well, if the log is gone, you probably need
Oh.
to set up some centralized logging. So that you
Yeah.
can review
Yeah.
what
Yeah.
went
Exactly. You
wrong.
have to exactly show
but.
that. I probably have
So
to
just one thing,
try.
maybe quickly, Ingolf, if you click on one of those that's restarting, if you just click on the right side on the actual pod, not only the events, usually you get at least a bit more information there.
Click on the pot
Yeah,
here.
click. Yeah, exactly. Then this is the part that's restarting, and if you scroll down, you'll get more
Whoa.
information.
What's the memory limit set on that pod?
Yeah.
Is it 400 something megabytes?
Yeah, that it looks like it.
Yeah, it might be
But
restarting because of that.
if you scroll a bit more down here, you can't see it there. But maybe if you look in the click on the log button
Now
on
it's
the
two
top right.
gigabytes. Memory limit. No,
Oh,
it's
okay.
1 gigabyte.
But if you click on the logs
Okay.
on the top right, Ingolf, so the
Click on the
dashboard by
top
default
right.
can
Huh?
show the yeah
Yeah.
on the logs. No, in the on the right side the burger menu.
Right, sorry.
Yeah. Just
What menu?
click on the log button. It's the leftmost symbol on the right side.
Lock button.
Yeah, just show the logs of the pod. It's
That's the
right beside the
leftmost. Ah,
exit.
sorry.
No, below.
This?
No,
I don't know
no.
what you want to
Go
tell to me.
yeah, go back one. If you go to the right and see there's like a button with three lines and then half a line.
In the blue bar.
In the
Yeah.
blue bar, right.
Next to the one with the box and the arrow. Keep going. There you
Yeah,
go.
that's the button for the logs. And in the dashboard, at least, you can go then on the three dots on the right. Do you see them? Right next to the download button, you can go to Zeige vorherige Logs or view previous logs. And
Oh, thank you. Yeah, this is it.
this
So,
is
oh, yeah,
like
thank
a
you.
really basic thing for the last
Okay.
logs before the pod got restarted.
Oh,
And
let's
you.
look at it. Fail to
Oh,
connect
you
to
know,
Kong.
we would have this problem where Kong would always restart after. So now you should go see if Kong is up. Is the service up? You might have to restart it.
How can I see this?
I think we
Can I
ended
look
up
for
having
Kong?
to increase the something resources for Kong.
Well, it
That could
does be it. resolve to an
Because it kept
IP.
going down. Like it'd
Service.
run and
Yeah,
then.
it's up. And it didn't restart. So
Oh,
it's a
but what
check
does
twice.
the log show? See, waiting for Kong to start.
Okay.
So it's not running.
Interesting.
It's like in
But
some
what is
secret
this? No,
state.
wait. What is this? Is 1208? It's not new. Why doesn't have a new edit a newer log? Yeah.
Is that the previous container?
Ah, I didn't even know the arrows on the bottoms that. Yeah, exactly. Ah, that's a
You
previous.
can.
Ah, thank you. That's a previous. Okay, yeah, interesting. But why is this? And since when? I mean, if this
Yeah.
is from December 8th and it is running.
You can look at the timestamps. So if you go on the three dots again and not look at the previous logs, because that was before the last restart.
This is actually interesting because my
Yeah,
IT
Ingolf,
guy told
you're
me
now
this is from
again.
December 8th. From
Yeah, but
December 8th, the CPU load
Ingolf,
increased.
that's the last re the logs of the pod before the current one. Go on through the three dots again. Disable the previous, also click auf Zeige vorherige Logs, dass die wieder weggehen. Und dann, was du noch auch
Jetzt
machen
sehen wir.
kannst, ist, du kannst auch die Timestamps anzeigen das. You can also show the timestamps of this log if you go to the three dots again. And in the middle, there's like timestamp, show timestamp. Yeah. So those are current timestamps. If the logs themselves, for some reason, don't show the timestamp, but whatever, you can enable that. And that's
Yeah,
like
but
the Z, that's like from this minute. Because.
okay, so what to do?
I
Restart Kong.
I put in the chat what we set for our resources for Kong, and we haven't had this problem since. So I think it's just you need to increase the memory. We got it set to 12 gigs.
Shelly, I can concur.
12 gigabyte. Yes, Kong is an
Yeah.
absurd I don't have 12 gigabyte.
Well, that's a limit.
Ah,
That's an upper limit.
that's the limit. Okay.
That's
Yeah,
the
yeah.
limit. But the request is nine.
Right. No, I didn't have to go that high on the Kong I've deployed in our test Kubernetes cluster, but I had to up it from the default for sure.
Yeah.
And I will tell you this, if Kong does go down or crash, and the manager applications will just sit there and crash loop forever until Kong is back. In my experience, though, Kong doesn't recover very well. So what you have to do is scale it down to zero. Wait a minute. Scale the manager applications down to zero. Wait a minute. Then bring Kong, scale Kong back up to a pod. Wait until it goes, "Hey, I'm back." And you look at the log output and then scale the manager applications back up.
Okay,
It
that seems
does not recover very well, and I don't know why. I experienced this a lot in EKS because in EKS pods would get shuffled and scheduled around, especially as EKS worker nodes would scale up and scale down based on load. And what I had to end up doing was make a worker node not scalable, have it always available, and then force Kong to run on just that node. So it would stop, it would just reschedule to a different node, the pod would move, and it would just come back up and say, "Waiting for Kong to start, waiting for Kong to start." And then the whole rest of the Folio instance was in a degraded state until Kong
That seems
back up.
awful.
It was, yeah, no, it is awful. Yes, I really, really hope API 6 fixes some of that instability.
API 6, I have not heard that. My next question would have been, so Kong is, I don't think we want to use Kong anyway, right? Is API 6 then a replacement? Or I'm out of the loop
Yes.
a bit.
Yes. So
I
there,
don't
the
know.
TC held a meeting last Wednesday,
Ah,
a
okay.
week ago. That is recorded. I highly recommend you get the recording from their site because Craig gave a presentation on the path forward away from Kong since Kong's no longer going to publish the container artifacts. It's all going all build from source or whatever. So the tech council approved lazy consensus for API 6 to be the replacement. They're shooting for a Trillium release, although it's not a hard requirement. There are some extra infrastructure implications there. For example, API 6 does not use Postgres. It uses etcd for its database backend. It is a lot faster. There's a lot less overhead, both on the resource side of it and just the IO side of it. It's a lot more slim. So we'll see. I'm hoping, yeah, I'm hoping that'll make all of these Kong issues moot.
Okay.
Now we just need to change all the environment variable names.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, names. Okay.
Oh,
Oh,
God bless
API
it.
Gateway or something.
Yeah. I get it.
But
I understand why, Okapi was bad about that. We had, the Okapi environment variables as, Okapi underscore blah, blah, blah. So I understand why they made the Kong ones say Kong instead of just Gateway. But yeah, all the environment variable changes are really starting to get to me. I'm trying to keep track
yeah.
of
I'm
everything.
actually, I'm actually thinking like when we go to Eureka, like our host name for Eureka, I think we should just not name it Eureka, we
Yeah.
should call it like Gateway or something,
Yeah,
So
that's
then
smart.
when we
Something
go
generic.
to API 6, we don't have to change host
Yeah.
names and all that stuff.
Wait, so I missed that the tail end before I had to leave earlier, and now I'm back. The you said you were upgrading your production system next week. Did I hear that right?
No, this Saturday.
This weekend. Okay.
Yeah, to Ramsons.
Okay, I'll copy Ramsons.
Yeah.
Okay. And so you don't really have a good timeline on your Eureka go live.
No, we not really a good timeline. We want to do it like spring break, so that would be the end of March, but I don't know. It might be in the summer that we go. Depending, right? Like, who knows? I mean, we've only been able to stand up Eureka in our dev environment. So, and it's not really like a repeatable process. So,
Yeah. Okay. All right. I had to like bail on. I couldn't ask
yeah.
earlier, but I couldn't remember if you said next week or this weekend and which one, if you're going to Sunflower or something else. So yeah, Ramson's on. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. The environment variable stuff. Yeah. Especially with regard to like the, there's the Kafka environment setting that you set with the ENV equals. And then there's the, Vault or SSM, AWS SSM ENV that you set. That's, they're named the same thing, which is terrible. Yeah. All right. Cool. Thanks.
Okay, I deleted the conk pod now, and shouldn't it now just restart? What do I have to do?
If you delete the pod only, then it should just restart, yes.
No,
If you deleted the deployment, it won't just restart, then you have to
then
rerun
it's
your
gone.
helm.
No. No, then it's gone.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and
Okay.
Ingolf, you can scale deployments also. So you
Scale
don't have to,
deployment.
yeah,
If you're going.
so
Yeah. Oh, you mean to more than one pod?
yeah, but also to zero.
Also
So
to zero. Yeah.
Ach,
you
to
can have a
zero. Yeah, okay.
deployment with a replica count that can be zero, then there's no pod, but the deployment is still in the cluster, which is helpful in various
I
scenarios.
restarted this now, and now it happens. Polling events.
I mean,
I
that
don't know
looks
what
better
this
than
is.
before, at least.
Definitely
So
doing something.
it takes, yeah, Tong takes a minute to start up.
Plugins.
And I don't, it used to be, I think it used to be Keycloak had to be up also at the same time, but I'm not sure now.
Keycloak is up.
I know Keycloak needs to be up for the MGR applications, but not sure about Kong.
No, it's all healthy. I mean, you can. Okay, so these are my deployments. Maybe I can make this smaller. That's too small. It's all green and 76. This is a platform minimal and platform complete for Sunflower CSP2. Well, now I have to go to CSP3, but anyway. And it's all okay. Ah, this is a long list. And then here at the end, there comes old modules, snapshot modules. Actually, they're newer, but I deployed them earlier, which I probably want to delete. I first deployed a snapshot version, like the others did, and this worked. This I was able to entitle, but I was not able to entitle the Sunflower version. So these are all the snapshot versions. And it basically nothing comes came down here. Here's Kong, Kafka, the manager components. Of course, one also needs to look at the ports. Here it's very interesting. So Kong is new. I just redeployed it. These are all running, and they didn't not restart or not very oftenly. Mod template engine, mod licenses. Why
Yes,
am I telling you this? Because if I go down here, they restart. Look, cook here, 580, 580. It's too often. Why do these restart so often?
wow, yeah, I would say that's probably they're OOMing. It's more than likely you're running out of memory for the pod,
Yeah.
or it reached a certain amount and it got killed by the Kubernetes control manager.
No, but how now that as I know how to do it, we can look at the old.
Oh yeah, the after a while it might get cleaned up. I forget what the cycle is.
Does this show all logs? Only one. I don't know. This is a new log where it redeployed. Why can I not go back here? Anyway, so what did I want to tell you? Yeah, this is getting worse here. 695. They're all green, except for mod source record manager. This doesn't work somehow. This is crash looping. This is crash looping and only this one. So I ignored that one, but I cannot ignore this restarting stuff. It's too much.
You might want to, like you said, remove all the snapshot versions since you're not really using them and they're just taking up resources in your cluster. And then maybe the non-snapshot versions will have more resources. I mean, look at just the graphs on the far right, like the blue one. Like, why is that like that? I mean, for each pod there, the graphs are all like filled up completely. The little green and blue graphs.
No,
but that
no.
doesn't need to mean anything because I think it adjusts dynamically. So the upper limit is not like based on the actual limit, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I have to.
That's just a visual thing. Yeah,
Okay.
but it's still good to know. So in recent weeks and months, I've been using K9S more, and K9S shows how much based on the limit you're actually using, and it gets red if it's above 80, which is really helpful.
K9S, that's a
Yeah, it's a
Kubernetes
command
distribution.
line. Yeah, no, it's a command line tool to view Kubernetes resources. It uses VI keybinds, and that's actually extremely. So I've been using mostly the web interface as well, but actually, it's actually way faster if you use some CLI tool, and it's but it has a bit of a learning curve, I guess. But there are other tools just where you can check how far along, so how much of your limit you're actually using. And then obviously you need to, so for everything that keeps crashing or restarting, there is some kind of status. So in Kubernetes itself, in the objects, usually out of memory kills are already displayed. And then you can also look at the nodes, kernel messages if there's some containers are killed because of memory issues. So there are various ways on how to check this.
I think this sidecar solution is like killing it. I mean, like if like Folu will get like with the 10 new modules or 5 new modules in the next year, then we will not add only 5 or 10 modules. Then we will add like 20 modules. And this, and like if this sidecar module will also evolve through time, then it will also like consume like more memory. And I think it's killing it. Like yeah, for 100 like Docker container, then you should have like 200
I
applications.
also think this is too
It's
much,
killing
but
it. Right,
whatever, who am I telling this?
it solves like the security problem. The communication is now like inside the applications is like now securized, but I don't think that this is really the right design for it. Like for sure we are making the minimal changes, but we are replicating the solution n times. And if we evolve with the number of folio modules later on, like we are killing the platform.
Yeah, you have to go. This is,
Cool.
I agree with you, or I support what you say, but you should say it in different forums, the technical council or so. We don't have the power to change this. So I'm glad that I have an estimate about the CPU and limits at all. You know, if I have 100 modules, I would have to go to pocket calculator and calculate it all up. Fortunately, I think this Kubernetes dashboard shows me what I have configured. So I will increase the Kong resource limits and resource. What was the other one? Req request. But do you think I need to increase the number of cores right now? I've showed you it has a 4 and 2.5 are resource request.
Maybe like Shelley said, like delete the snapshot
Yeah,
modules
delete the snapshot
and
modules.
then
Okay.
adjust the resource
Yeah,
for Kong.
but actually, to be honest, as it's like as you said, I think this cannot be the solution. I have now 80 modules and maybe 40 snapshot modules, and I delete them, then it works again. But then I do an then in the next year there are 20 new modules, and then I do an upgrade. During an upgrade, all the double amount of modules need to run. Then I can only already
No,
say no that this will crash.
they don't. You don't need to run double the modules when you upgrade.
No.
You that's not how we do it.
This is what I did in the copy
You
scenario
know,
one.
there's different resource limits. There's like your namespace has a total resource limit applied to it. But I do want to say, like, I know at the time we should it's time to end, but going the resourcing for our modules deployed on Okapi and Eureka, I don't think we had to increase the resources for Eureka because of the module, the Folio module sidecar running. So I don't recall like having to increase resources on the modules. So what I'm saying is like just because there's the sidecar running, it's not adding to the resources for the pod very much. And I think Quarkus is a really like lightweight Java thing that doesn't take a lot of memory and resources anyways. So I don't know. But
Yes,
yeah, like
and
when we
also
upgrade, we bring everything down. We uninstall all of our modules and then reinstall them at the new version. So you don't have to have
but
both.
you have to migrate. How do you migrate?
The new modules do that.
But only if the old model is still running. Oh.
No, I don't
Nope.
think so. So I used to
It
think
doesn't
that as
matter.
well, but so for in our case, we need to have the old modules running because we have like quite a lot of tenants, so we don't do the upgrades for every one of those as well. So I'm not 100% sure, but I think all the upgrade procedures are done by the new versions of the module, and in theory, at least if not, nothing gets like broken, the old modules will not be used again for the tenant.
But I still don't understand it. I have a running system, and now someone tells me, please upgrade the Folio version. Then I go to my system and deploy 80 modules in the new release. This is the first thing I have to do. Which I do. Then I have 160 modules. Or what? What are you doing?
Yeah, if you haven't like scheduled a downtime and tried this out in a test system, because in that case, like Shelly said, you could also just say, okay, now the Folio system is getting upgraded. I'm shutting down all the old modules and spinning up the new modules and doing the upgrade. But for that, you need estimations on how long this will take and
Ah, that's a
adapt.
smart procedure. Okay, yeah, I understand.
And this
Understand,
is
of
why
course.
this is why everybody clones their production database to a test database because they
Yeah, I
stand
need
up
to erase
the
the emails. What is Jason writing? Remember the days when it was 10-ish modules? Ah, lovely. Can confirm now they don't all need to be running to upgrade. Okay.
But a lot of them do still. Usually the ones that have storage at the end of it. Because they apparently, I don't know, I get a, at least for the Okapi version, I don't know about Eureka, but it'll give me an error if it can't reach the old modules endpoint and it has some scripts that it's supposed to run.
Oh, good to know. Thank you.
Yeah.
So you don't
Yeah.
need to send any commands to the modules to make, for example, database migrations.
Well, the Okapi
No, I mean that's through
install command will.
the entitlement thing of this.
Okay.
Okay. We are over time. Any last words?
No. See you
Happy
next year.
holidays, I
Yeah,
guess.
wish you happy holidays. Merry Christmas.
Yeah, we'll get to all this next year. It'll be fine.
Okay. We make it a date next year, probably the first Wednesday, I don't know when. But after the 5th, probably 5th of January. So happy holidays. Get a good start of the new year
All
to
right.
you.
All right. Adios,
Bye.
everybody. Happy
Bye.
holidays. Bye.
I will copy the notes. I will stay in the
Oh, yeah, good idea.
line. Ist das ja gar nicht. Hallo?